Chapter 18. Late in the afternoon, on the last day of the month of Abul, Daniel, looking up from his work, saw a figure hurrying along the road, an unfamiliar figure, muffled in a heavy turban and moving with haste, that warned him of trouble. He put down his hammer and waited. It was only when the stranger entered the shadow of the doorway and pushed back the turban that he saw it was Thaisa. Who could have imagined that Thaisa could look like this, stricken, gray-faced, the wet hair clinging to her forehead? "Oh, Daniel," she gasped, "they have taken Joel." "The soldiers?" "Yes. Oh, I knew from the beginning that this would happen. What can we do?" "I knew it too," he thought, with a wave of sickness. "Where is he?" "In the garrison. He didn't come home all night. This morning I went to the harbor and couldn't find him. I didn't know what to do, so I went to Kamul, and he managed to find out. They have been suspecting the centurion's kitchen slaves. Yesterday 5 slaves were flogged, and when Joel came to the door, they took him." "Did Kamul find out any more?" "They're sending some prisoners east in the morning. They've sentenced Joel to go with them."
"Does that mean the galleys?" "Daniel, Joel could not live in the galleys. He's..."
Through his own horror, Daniel saw that the girl was close to collapse. Numbly, he reached out and touched her shoulder. "Rosh will have planned for this," he said. "He will know what to do." At his touch, she began to weep wildly, her hands covering her face. "She has borne this all night," he thought, "and all day. Has she eaten or rested?" Through the open door to his house, he saw Leah standing behind her loom, staring. How much had she understood? With one arm across her shoulders, he led Thaisa to the door. "Take care of her," he said to his sister. "I'm going up the mountain." Leah came from behind the loom and held out her arms, and Thaisa stumbled into them, the golden head bent gently over the dark one. In 2 hours' time, Daniel reached the cave. The thorn fire was blazing, and the fragrance of roasted mutton hung in the air. The men who sprawled on the ground barely glanced at him. At the mouth of the cave sat Rosh, rubbing at a fine ivory-handled dagger. He listened, giving more attention to the blade than to Daniel's distraught message. "He was getting too confident," he grunted. "They can't know who he is," Daniel urged. "Joel would never let them know his father's name. They'll think he's only a fisherman. They won't be looking for an attack." "Attack?" Rosh repeated coldly. "What are you talking about?" "If we move fast, we can surprise them on the road."
"We?"
"All of us will help you. You can count on us." "Speak for yourself," Rosh said. "It's not my affair." Anger exploded in a red blaze before Daniel's eyes. "Joel was following your orders," he shouted. "You're responsible for him." Rosh still rubbed at the steel. "On this mountain, every man is responsible for himself. That holds for Joel." Daniel held back his rage. "Listen to me, Rosh," he struggled to speak reasonably. "8 of us took Samson." "From the Romans? Use your head. We took Samson from some scurvy traitors. Roman soldiers, that's another matter." Desperately, Daniel tried a different tact. "Joel is important to us," he urged. "Important? He was stupid enough to get caught. You think I can spare 8 men or 1 man for that?" Daniel's control gave way. "You'd just use him and then let him go? Without even a try?" Rosh squinted up at him. "I've warned you before," he said, his voice ugly. "There's a soft streak in you. Till you get rid of it, you're no good to the cause." The red mist of anger cleared suddenly from Daniel's mind. He looked at the man who had been his leader. He saw the coarsened face with its tangle of dirty beard. He saw the hard mouth, the calculating little eyes. He saw a man he had never really looked at before. "The cause," he said with despair. "How could you know what it means?" Fury mottled the man's face. "Take care, you. Don't threaten me," Daniel said. "I'm not one of your men, not any longer." Rosh coiled back. "You fool," he spat out. "How far could you get without me?" Daniel looked steadily into the narrowed black eyes. In another moment, Rosh would spring at him. At the prospect, his hands clenched with savage pleasure, but his mind was in control now. He could not fight with Rosh. The very strength of his hands he owed to this man, and what good would it do Joel? He turned away without speaking and passed through the ring of silent, wary men. He knew that he was through with the mountain forever. As he went down the trail, footsteps came pounding after him.
Daniel, wait!
It was Joktan. What are you doing?
I'm going to get Joel.
By yourself?
No, there are 19 of us.
20, said Joktan.
He had drawn himself up to his last skinny inch.
Let me go with you, he pleaded, before Daniel could refuse.
Daniel decided quickly.
Come then, he said. You can't be worse off.
Even in his haste, he felt a sharp disappointment and regret. He had hoped that the footsteps were Samson's. He would have liked to say goodbye to the big man, to clasp the man's hand, to try to tell him not to watch any more. But this, too, he must put behind him. He and Joktan had the trail to themselves, but as he went down, the uncanny feeling grew on him that someone was behind. Had Rosh sent someone to follow him? Time and again he whirled about, but he could see nothing. His skin kept prickling. He quickened his stride till Joktan was running to keep pace. In the watchtower, 12 boys waited in the darkness, making no sound. One by one, others crawled through the field to join them. Kamul had summoned every boy in the city.
What is Rosh going to do? They greeted Daniel, their faces sober. They read the answer in his silence.
Nothing? Nathan cried out, incredulous. After Joel has...
His voice broke. The other stared at Daniel, too stunned and angry to speak.
I have failed them all, he thought. They trusted me.
What does it matter? Kamul suddenly lashed out with scorn. We don't need your Rosh, your great leader. We'll do without him.
Tumult exploded in the watchtower, anger flaring instantly into new hope.
Wait, Daniel silenced them. Let's have one thing clear. Maybe some of you think, as Rosh does, that every man answers only for himself.
We answer for each other, Nathan spoke swiftly. A dozen voices echoed him with passion.
Kamul cut sharply across the clamor.
Do you have a plan?
Yes, said Daniel. At once every boy was quiet. For 19 against a Roman force?
20, said Daniel, his hand on Joktan's shoulder.
If we use our heads, we can make 20 count for 100. We won't try to fight them. We will only get Joel.
How?
Confidence had come back to their voices. On the road. Daniel's mind was working clearly now. We can't break into the garrison. We can't afford to meet the Romans face to face. We can go south, beyond Magdala, and wait in the pass near Arbela. On the cliff we can spread out and throw down rocks so that they won't know how many we are. The Romans have no reason to expect an attack. When we have stirred up as much confusion as we can, then we take Joel.
How? They questioned. He will be chained.
That's a blacksmith's job.
There was a silence. One cannot do that alone, said Nathan.
I'll go down with you.
Before we go on, said Daniel, we must have a leader. Up till now, we have all been equal.
We have already chosen, said another boy. You have always been the leader.
Not by a vote.
There's no need to vote, said Nathan. Does anyone here question who is our leader?
Not a whisper challenged him.
Then you will obey my orders, said Daniel sternly. He felt no pride or glory that he was their leader, as he had once dreamed, only a cold heaviness.
The time has not come to fight the Romans, he told them. We have no right to waste lives that are needed for the cause, even for Joel. You are to stay on the cliff and distract the soldiers while I free Joel from the chains. Then you will all retreat as fast as you can. I don't think the Romans will follow. They'll be leery of a trap.
This time they kept silent, not questioning his command.
Take all the weapons you have, he ordered. We'll start now and find our place.
He hesitated, feeling awkward but compelled to speak.
Joel is the one who has always read us the scriptures. Now we'll have to remember the things he has read.
Judas and Jonathan and Simon went out with a few against the enemy. We can do it too. The same God will strengthen us.
In the darkness, each boy reached out and clasped the hand of the one nearest him.
For God's victory, they said together solemnly.